I guess the title of this is Improve Your Vision, Improve Your Life. You know, you go to the eye doctor, he gives you a test and see if you can see stuff, you know, and sometimes they prescribe glasses. Sometimes you have cataract surgery, and then you don't really, I don't need these anymore after I had cataract surgery. But everybody said they're so used to seeing me with them on for all those years. That's just clear glass. See, some people think that you have to hide everything. I don't hide nothing. I mean, hey, and I believe that if you know that I have problems just like you do, and I've overcome them, then you can overcome them. And so I want to talk about, I want to give you a spiritual vision test tonight. All right. When you look at God, who do you see? When you look at yourself, who do you see? And when you look at your life, who do you see or what do you see? Now, what you see in each of these areas will greatly determine what you're able to accomplish in life. If you don't see correctly in these areas, you become limited in what you can do. You know, just like if you go and they give you that eye test, and which looks better, this or this or this, you know. It's how you see it. And if you don't see correctly, then you're limited, and it may cause you a problem unless you get some kind of correction. You know, I almost have my pilot's license, but you have to have really good vision if you're going to be a pilot. In fact, one of their tests is the peripheral vision. I can see both of my hands right here like this. Some people only are like this, but some people don't have good, looking straight ahead, what can you see? And that's one of the deals that you get. I got any pilots here? Anybody that's pilots? Vision is important. Sometimes planes have landed at the wrong airport because they didn't, or landed in the wrong place because the pilot didn't pick up the proper landing strip. You know, my dad used to say, you don't have to talk very long to very many people and you find out if they got a vision problem or not, whether they're looking into the Word of God. Some people, you get around them and you can spot them real quick. They're negative instead of positive all the time. Everything's negative. Everything. And you know, and then get around some people, and all they see is obstacles. They never see an opportunity. And other people, all they see is the problem and not the promise of God. And, you know, most people won't try to accomplish what they can't see. If you can't see God doing something, you can't believe for it. You know, if you start a business, you don't start a business unless you can see it making a profit. Am I correct? You know, a salesperson who sees opportunities makes sales and goes and becomes the top salesman. The first salesperson that doesn't make any sales, he better get in another line of work pretty quick. You know, one time when I was in Bible college, now I don't know what they do now, but used to when I was in college, these guys came around and they hired people to sell vacuum cleaners and go door to door. They hired people to go door to door and sell encyclopedias. They hired people to get on the cruise, and they would go all the way up North Dakota, and they would harvest their wheat, and they'd come all the way back down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've got a few people know what I'm talking about. So they came, and so I said, okay, I hired on with this vacuum cleaner place. And of course, it was there in Dallas, and of course, I lived in that area. And so I went to their training, and I watched that. All time I'm sitting there thinking, that thing, it's no good. It won't do what my mother's Kirby vacuum cleaner does. How many remember the Kirby vacuum cleaners? At that time, they were the best there was. Oh, I got a lot of people in here.
Still are.
Still are. Somebody said, I don't know. So now I go out, and I'm in this house, and I'm demonstrating this thing, but I didn't make a sale. And I don't know how many houses I went to, and I didn't make no sales at all. I went back, and I told him, I said, hey, count me out. I said, I can't sell this thing. And they said, why? And I said, because it won't do what my mother's vacuum cleaner at home does, and if I don't believe in it, I can't sell it. I found out right then I wasn't a good vacuum cleaner salesman. You know, if you succeed in anything, sports, whatever, you have to seize the opportunities and realize that there is always going to be opposition. What we focus on will determine what our outcome will be. Now go to 2 Kings 6. We're going to read verses 15, 16, 17. I'm watching to see if somebody goes there. Yeah, but look like they about got it. All right. When the servant of the man of God got, I'm reading the NLT. I think most of my translations are just from the NLT in this lesson. I go back and forth between them because somebody was saying, I think Lynette was saying that the NLT is, or somebody, it was Craig, was saying that he did some research and the NLT was the number one, number two. King James is number one, and LT was number two. I sort of like the way it reads because I compare it to make sure that with the New King James, but it reads more like we would talk today. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes, let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Now you see, it depending on what he saw, is what his attitude become. Either fearful, or now he was not afraid anymore because of what he saw. You see, when we see the word correctly, then everything changes. He saw the heavenly angels and the armies of God, and it changed his expectation of what was going to happen. Sometimes we need to get a vision adjustment. My dad used to say that people read the Bible with color, with traditional glasses on, from what they have been taught traditionally or religiously, and not for what the Word of God really says. So sometimes we need to get a vision adjustment so we see the real picture, both spiritually and naturally. You know, when we see that God and His forces are more than those that are against us, there's no fear. You know, the Word of God said, what have we to fear? Because He is greater than anything that can come against us. How can you improve your vision? Well, if you want to see better, look into the written Word of God. Proverbs 4:20. Everybody mostly knows this, but I'm going to want you to read it. Sometimes we need, in fact, I try to make it a point not to memorize too many scripture, because then it just becomes a ritual rote, and I like to go and read it. A lot of people like to memorize scripture. Well, I guess that's all right, but if you're not careful, it just becomes a memory, and you just quote it, and you're not really concentrating on it. But when you're reading it, there's more concentration involved. Am I right or wrong? Okay. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they will bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Notice that it says here, don't lose sight of the Word of God. Continually looking. When you continually look at the Word of God, then when you look at your situation, you do not see the problem. You do not see the circumstance. You see it in light of the Word. How many know what I'm talking about? Without the Word, we don't see it God's way. With the Word, we begin to see it the way God sees it. We see it as a problem. God sees it as an opportunity to demonstrate His power. You know, when I'm doing a memorial service, many times I'll say, we see them as gone. God sees them as coming home. See, He sees things different than we do. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. So here, I want you to notice that the Word will talk to you about the supernatural power of God. The Word will talk to you about things beyond your limited natural ability. The Word will talk to you about opportunities that only God can bring. When you look carefully at the Word of God, you see more than what your physical eyes can see. Remember, we read the servant, his physical eyes saw all of the soldiers and all so forth and so on. But then when he began to see it from a spiritual side, it changed. When you begin to see things from the Word of God, the way God sees it, the perspective changes. Come on now. You hear that? You hear with me? You've gone home already. When you look into how the Word of God sees it, then you see what God can do for you. You see beyond the natural. You see possibilities instead of problems. See, Romans 8:31, that clause there says, the last clause says, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Now, this gives a different look. You look at what's against you, but when we look at it from the Word of God, what in the world am I worried about? What can be against me if God is for me? I mean, there's all kinds of scripture that talks about God being for us. You see, the scripture shows us what is there for us, and it doesn't matter what we see in the natural as long as we look at it in line with the Word of God. See things in line with the Word of God. See your problem. See your situation. See this, everything that's coming against you in line with the Word of God, how the Word of God talks. You know, I don't ever get overly excited. People come to me and say, oh, you know what somebody said about you? You know what somebody said against you? I said, no, I don't know, but I'm not trying to please them. I'm trying to please God. I know what God said about me. God said I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. God said I'm more than a conqueror. God said I always triumph. You see, you've got to look at it and see it the way the Word says it. You know, knowing the Scripture helps correct your vision, what you see. Now look at this. You know, we all know John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, it's real easy. Just, you look here, you see what, you see this is the devil. You look here and you see this is God. Then you shouldn't have any trouble of differentiating what is from the devil and what is coming from God. Some people say, well, I don't know. Hey, it's real easy. Anything that is contrary to what the Word of God says is coming from the enemy, the devil himself. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. You know, some people, I mean, even good Christians, I've run into them through the years. I've only been doing this a few years, but 62 of them. But I've run into people, and they say, oh, I don't know why in the world God let that happen. Anybody ever heard anybody say that? Anybody ever had anybody say that? God didn't have nothing to do with it. It was bad. It was destructive. You know good and well, God ain't got nothing to do with it. It's the enemy. But instead of, they're looking at all the circumstances. Instead of looking, hey, God will deliver me. God will turn this situation around. He is the master turner arounder. I don't know whether that's good English or not, but I said it anyway. I don't need anybody writing me. I get letters. I used to. I don't get them anymore because I never responded to them, so I guess they quit writing. I used to get, Lynette, I'll tell you this. I used to, years and years ago, I used to get letter all the time from this same lady. She was an English teacher, I think, or something anyway. And she is always correcting my English. Well, I started writing to tell her one time. I said, well, at least I'm preaching to more people than you are. But I didn't. You would be surprised at the kind of letters that we ministers get. I probably get a letter at least once a month telling me something, some kind of something that somebody said that I'm supposed to do or that the Lord is dead. And I say, okay, whatever. Go to file 13 with that one. It's a gray can sitting on the floor. That's file 13. You know, we can't afford to look at what everybody's saying and what this one is doing and what that one's doing. Somebody said, it's been years ago. So I said, well, you know, this church is doing that. I said, we're not that church. You know, you got to look at the vision that God has for your life and line it up with the Word of God. Okay? God doesn't want a bunch of clones. He wants individual people that are living their life for Him, doing what He's got them doing, where He's got them doing it at, until He tells them to do something else and go somewhere else. I'm going to say this. I've seen many, many people leave Raymond. They should have stayed here, but they didn't. You know, I can't tell them. They said God told them to go. Hey, fine. I ain't going to say. You come to me and say, God's dealing with me about this. What do you think? I'm going to say, I don't think nothing. Now, if you come to me and say, well, you know, I'm sort of thinking about this or that, then I might give you my opinion. But if you tell me God's telling you, who am I? Come on. Most of the time, a lot of times, the people, they want to do it themselves and they blame it on God. Oh, man, I'm meddling now, ain't I? That's good teaching. Go ahead, Hagin. I think I will. Amen. I'm not getting no amens from you. I amen myself. Somebody asked me one time, how do you preach to a crowd that just sits there? I said, well, you just preach. Right. Well, it's not going, I don't get no inspiration. I said, inspire yourself. Right. I'm 28 years old, and I go to work for my father-in-law. And I just got out of the Army, and I hadn't preached hardly any. I mean, I was 26 and I got out of the Army. Now it's just a year or so, and I might have preached twice. Now I go to work, associate pastor. He said, oh, by the way, you'll preach every Sunday night. He threw me in that pulpit every Sunday night, and they people sitting out there that had the Holy Ghost longer than I was old. And they just sat there. So I learned to preach and put people in, and I just preach. One guy told me, I can't do that. I said, well, then you better get in another possession. Okay. If you want to see better, look at what Jesus did. See, Hebrews 12:2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joys awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame. Now he's seated at a place of honor beside God. See, we need to improve our vision and see things correctly. See, Jesus, he saw what he was facing. He understood what he was facing, but he looked past that. It's what the scripture says, right? Did you read it? He disregarded it because of the joy awaiting him. See, we need to realize that anytime we're going through a problem, if we keep looking to the Word, keep quoting the Word, believing the Word, there's joy on the other side. See past it. See, you know, Jesus, we need to look. He look beyond our present difficulties. Look beyond our present situation. Look at what lies on the other side. You know, we need to act like Jesus in every situation. He looked past all of the stuff. You know, when the storm came, what did he do? Commanded to get out of the way. Be still. When he saw sick people, what did he do? Prayed for them, healed them. When people did something wrong, he condemned them. No, he didn't. He instructed them to just don't do it again. Walk in righteousness. When people had nothing to eat, he gave them something to eat. Jesus showed us the Heavenly Father. Remember, in John 14, 8 and 9, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? See, Jesus came to help us to see the Father. If you see Jesus, then you see the Father. You know, you see me, you see Kenneth Hagin. People say, I was out on the road just recently when I was out on the road, somebody said, one of the Raymond grads was there. He said, you walked over here and you made a turn and you said something and I thought I was seeing your dad. I said, well, I guess you were. I guess I'm the younger version. And I have noticed recently that I'm seeing my dad and myself in Craig as he preaches. Anybody else doing that? He's a whole lot more like, he's more like his grandfather than he is me, but he's still, you know. And have you ever noticed that a lot of times as people get older, they look more like their parents. Anybody ever notice that? Anybody in that category? Look at pictures. You see, we need to realize that when people see us, then they should see Jesus. Hello, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. Sometimes, like I said, people in trouble, they won't blame God, but it's because they're not maintaining their vision in the Word of God. You know, people always talk about tunnel vision. You know, some people, that's all they can see, just right directly in front of them. No, lift your eyes up with the Word of God and look past your circumstance. Look past whatever it is that's coming against you, is trying to get you to mess up. If you want to see better, you got to look to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. See, now I'm giving you the prescription. See, the eye doctor gave you a prescription for the glasses. I'm giving you a prescription to be able to see better and to have a better life. When you can see better, you in the natural, it's a whole lot better, right? The same thing here. Anybody understand what I'm trying to do with you tonight? See, John 16, 13 says, and we know it, but we need to read it. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, 12, and we receive God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. The Holy Spirit sees things that we cannot see, but we need to learn to look to the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit is there. Sometimes don't override that. If you're driving and all of a sudden you think, man, I shouldn't go this way. I should go this way. Don't override that. Right. Now it can be in the natural, but you can check it out. I don't know. I think it was yesterday, was it, hon, or day before Monday, maybe? I called you on the phone, and we was leaving the office, and we normally go a certain way going home. And I called her. I said, I don't know why, but I'm going to go this way tonight, today, home. I'm going to go home this way. Did anything happen? I don't know. But I just know I did not feel right about making that left turn and going that way. You know, how many realize that from this campus, you can go several different directions and get to your house? So I didn't make that left turn that I would normally make. I just kept going straight. Why? I don't know. I just had a prompting. I just felt like I shouldn't go the same way. You see, you got to learn to let the Holy Spirit. You got to see with the Holy Spirit. Okay. You know, little boy, he was going to the barn in the nighttime, and he just had a flashlight, and it just showed a little bit of the trail. And he told his dad, he said, "Well, I like it better in daytime because I can see all the way to the barn with the flashlight. I can't see to the barn. I can just see a little bit in front of me." Well, you see, if we'll let the Holy Spirit illuminate our path, he'll show us things out here in front of us before we get there. I've told you many times about the time that we went out. We was at Mom and Papa Goodwin's. Dad had gone by. He's an evangelist. I was about 5 years old. And he was traveling, and we went by Mom and Papa Goodwin because he would go and pray with them. They were his mom's, Mom and Papa Goodwin were his and Mom's mentors in the ministry. And so we went out, and I was done. Me and my sis and Mom were done in the car, and he was standing out there talking to Papa Goodwin. And all of a sudden he said, "Well, get out. Let's go back in the house. We can't leave yet." And so we did. And after a while, in about 15 minutes, he said, "Okay, we can go now." We got out there on the highway. It's just two-lane road. I'm 5 years old, so you can figure out. It was, 1945, I guess, maybe 46, 44, somewhere in there. And a tanker truck, gasoline tanker truck, had overturned, spilled gas everywhere, and about 20 cars were engulfed in flames. And Dad, I never will forget this. It's vivid in my memory. I'm sitting right by, I always sit right behind him there in the car. And I never will forget that. And he said, "Son, see, we would have been right there in the middle of that if we had left when we did." He said that the Holy Spirit saw that that was the problem, and he arrested me. I never forget that. I'm 81 years old now. It's just as real right now as it was when I was 5 or 6 years old. Because, you see, we need to see how the Holy Spirit sees and follow him. You know, I better close this out here. You know, if you need a vision adjustment, then make it. I want to encourage everybody to improve your vision and your life by looking in the Word, by looking to Jesus, and by looking to the Holy Spirit. Did you get anything out of this tonight? I tried to just talk to you like I normally do. But, you know, if you look in Ephesians 1, 17 through about 23, the Lord says there, Paul says that he prayed that the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. See, this is seeing. This is seeing with the spiritual eyes. The eyes of understanding, that your eyes of understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is his calling, what is the riches of his glory and his inheritance of saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. You see, I read this most every day. And if I don't read it every day, I read it at least 3 times a week. I read this scripture because I want to see with my spiritual eyes and not just see with my natural eyes. Everybody stand up. I trust you got something out of what I had to say tonight. I hope I helped somebody. Did I help anybody tonight? Hallelujah to Jesus. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you that you would help us to see everything in light of your word, in light of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve God, but you just not where you're supposed to be and you need to rededicate your life. The ladies are here. The men are over here. As we're dismissed, if you'll come down here, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, you want somebody to pray with you, come to the front right now. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to pray for you for healing. Somebody said, well, it's not the preacher. It don't have to be. The Bible says believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. These people are believers. They're full of the Spirit of God. Whatever you need prayer for, if you'll come here, they'll pray with you. All right. Sunday morning right here. Everybody come. Remember all the announcements. Greet somebody and say, hey, I'm going to make sure that my vision is correct. And we'll see you Sunday. If you need prayer, come to the front right now. Just come to the front right now. In Jesus' name.